Welcome to another message of hope from Gateway Family Church. For more information or to contact us, please visit gateway.asn.au.
Father, we thank you that your name is so powerful that we can come together and worship you. Your name's the only name worth worshiping. Your name's the only one we can place our total trust in. Your name's the only name. The people that don't know you yet are searching for something. And it's all involved in your name. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of worshiping you today. Amen. Amen. Please grab a seat. Good morning. Good morning. I think the 9 a.m. was a lot more rowdy than you. Good morning. It's good. The light's in my face. I can't see you, so you keep making faces back to me. Hey, grab your outlines and a pen, and I'm going to walk you through some scriptures. And every time you hear the word abide on the screen or on your outline there, circle the word abide. Now, I've got two guests, some friends of mine, Dylan and Zach are in the front row there, and they're here. Yeah, give them a hand. Give them a hand. They're here for two reasons. One, they're just checking out Jesus a little bit. And number two, they're going to assess me on how I go. So they've got their outlines ready to nail me. So, and that a coffee afterwards is hanging on whether I get the outline right. So, all right. So if you've got your outline there in your pen, look, every time we look at the word abide, circle it on your outline. Jesus is talking to his mates and he's got them together. And let's walk through what he says. He says, I am the true vine and my father is the gardener. Remember, he's in a rural setting. So he's looking around him and contextualizing. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he trims so that it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you, says Jesus. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. The branch itself cannot produce fruit unless it abides on the vine. Likewise, you cannot produce fruit unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. The one who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and he's dried up. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. In this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. I've got a friend of mine who is very old and he's super fit. And from a little age, he's played football and cricket and exceeded in martial arts and so on. And even in his later years, he runs just about every day and he trains for things like marathons. And he's just a super fit guy, but he's getting on in years. A few years back, he decided to go in an Ironman contest. So what he did was started getting the kilometres into his legs with cycling, and then he did all the running in preparation, and he did thousands of laps in the pool ready for this big Ironman coming up in months to come. Some months out from the Ironman, he thought, ooh, I need to do a few little kilometres in the ocean because I've been doing it. I'll just get out of the pool and go into the ocean and just see I get it right for when it's in the bay. So he does that, and I saw him a few hours after his first training run. He gets into the bay, heads out, and here he is, two strokes in. He sinks like a rock. He sinks like a rock. He could not stay in the water. And unfortunately for me, he came back to the surface. And what had happened was he'd been in the pool all these months doing thousands of laps. And when he got into the ocean, which he wasn't experienced with, he realised the ocean is totally different. There's currents, there's the salt water, cross currents, it's all happening, there's waves splashing in his face, and he couldn't cope with that. And being the stubborn, determined, strong-willed person that my friend is, he decided to persevere and he got it right. And when the Ironman came, he did his part in the ocean and away he went. Sally, my wife, and I very shortly will have been married 40 years. Some of you may cheer, others may boo. Come a tissue box, Doug, please. So 40 years and you think, wow, they're together still and Mark looks so young. But we are poles apart in the way we see everything in life. Now, some of you just go, he's been kidding. No, we are poles apart in everything we see in life. Whatever just comes to your mind about poles apart, that's part of it. As it says in the Bible, for Mark and Sally, as far as the east is from the west, you will be different. And so, I don't know, thanks, Doug, how we've managed to stay together by God's grace, but we are absolutely poles apart. Now, you young marriage, or those of you who are falling in love, think, oh, you're supposed to be together and everything's wonderful and you have the same interests and things. That's a lot of garbage. Let me tell you now. And it's okay. The spice of marriage is to be totally opposite. You don't have to have the same footy team or anything. It's great. But one thing we are absolutely rock solid and have been on, even when Sally was chasing me, was this. I'm preaching, I'm just telling the facts here. Is this. Sally was raised in her family, never knew them. They were in a lesser suburb, and I was in my suburb. But one thing we had in common is we were both raised going to the beach every summer, all summer. So from when you were a little bubby nappies right through to teenage years, you were at the beach in summer. And so when we ended up coming together and so on, and that we realised, you know what, we both had the same experiences. Raised at the beach, used to the sand, used to the seagulls crapping on your head and everything, out in the water, swimming a bit, and from that then dog paddling, swimming, snorkeling, surfing, spearfishing, doing all those things which started off when we were little. And when we got to the age as adults and married, that's the one thing we've had in common. Totally comfortable in the ocean. Amazing. So here we are in the ocean, and because we've grown up with it, no matter what situation you put us in, we're quite comfortable in it. So much so that a few years back, Sally and I were in Fiji, and one day Sally booked this expensive trip out into the middle of the ocean to do snorkeling. So when you go out into the ocean, there's the ocean, and then there's the ocean where there's no land in sight. I'm talking out where there's no land in sight. There's nowhere for you to get your bearings. So imagine yourself out there. Where's the horizon? How are you measuring everything? Because you can't see anything other than the ocean you're about to go into. And so you're on a boat with 20 other people. The tour guide's actually ex-Navy SEALs. And it's a bit disturbing because they've got long knives down the side of their calves, even though it's supposed to be a fun activity. I thought, yeah, right. So you go out, way out into the ocean, as far out from land that you can't see it. Then they get out a whiteboard. And they draw on the whiteboard and they go, right, we're taking out this reef and it's half a kilometre long and it's about 300 metres deep in parts, some parts it's 30 metres deep, blah, 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 blah. They say, now the current at this stage is going 7 knots through the reef. You need to stay up this end of the reef because if you don't stay focused, you'll drift down this end, you'll go out in the Pacific and we have to send boats out to go and find you. So you watch the, you get it, then in you go. And off you go. The boat backs off a couple hundred metres and they just sit there in the boat making sure they're not in your way. And they're just sitting there like really relaxed. I know they're looking for sharks, but they just don't tell you that in the brochures. But what was fascinating was, as soon as they said go, and you jump in with your flippers and snorkel, Sally and I are off. Absolutely off we go. And we're just finding our bearings and we look up. So which way are we going to, where are we going to head out there? Look up, and there's a couple of people already, within minutes, getting back on the boat, which is okay. Obviously, they're not used to open water. Because when you're out in the ocean so far, you can't see land. Not only have you got the currents going through, which you can feel across your body, you have an undulation, sloping swell on a calm day. So your head's down at this level, and it's just going like this the whole time the ocean. So your horizon is going like this. On a nice day. And then you've got the currents coming through, and depending where you are on the reef, you've got cross currents coming through. So within minutes, people were starting to get back on the boat. Now, we still had 2 hours to go. So we're looking at them. We go off and dawdle back and come back, and 5-10 minutes later, we go past the boat that way. There's more people getting off. And then just about everybody got off. Now, there are new honeymooners getting off. So they're young and fit, but I get it, they're not used to it. They've got off because they're just not quite sure what's going on in the ocean. They're not used to it. So they get off. So in the end, Sally and I, because we paid a lot of money, we're about the only ones left in the ocean till the time was up. And in that time, we had a ball. totally relaxed breathing. Just loved the whole experience out in the open ocean. You know, you can be a Christian and you can say, well, you know, I love Jesus, but you've never left the pool. You're still in the pool. Now, I'm not saying that to condemn you. I'm just saying, let's talk some facts here. You can have people who are checking out the Christian faith, as some of you are here today. You can have people who say, you know, well, I'm a bit of a fan of Jesus. I actually believe in Jesus. But you're in the pool. Why? Because you control it all. You control getting into the pool. You control when you decide to get out. You just follow up and down the lines of the moral teachings and all those things, and you've got it all sorted out and you've got your beliefs sorted out and you control it all and nothing changes. It's the same water, same place, same laps, and you do it every day. Yeah. And everything's cool because I go to church once occasionally. My kids are in a Christian school, and I'm not knocking that because my kids went through a Christian school. But you've got it all sorted out. But the end result, when you peel it back, it's all about you being in control. You smile, we smile, and we say, yep, but you're still in the pool when push comes to shove. You see, the reason why Sally and I were so comfortable in the ocean, because for all those decades of growth from when we were in nappies, is we were taught to abide in the ocean. Abide means to dwell, to continue, to remain. And when you're in that environment, and that's the way you've experienced the Christian faith, that according to the words that you read out before, not what I'm saying, Jesus says, you know what? A disciple is someone who's asked me to abide in them. It's not about getting your emotions right and just saying, I'm going to follow Jesus today, but tomorrow I'm back out of the pool because it doesn't suit me. The water's too cold. Abiding is about asking Christ, come into my life, please remain in me. What you've just read says, I will remain in you. And I'll give you the supernatural strength to remain in me. Because if you are a disciple and you are an ocean swimmer in the faith swim of life, you've got to be kidding if you don't think there's strong currents and storms and waves splashing in your face and dangerous fish and so on. Of course there's illnesses in your life. There's grief, losses of jobs, kids that go play up. All the things that happen in your life is part of the ocean of the faith that Christ calls you into. And if you, particularly our younger people, if you've been modelled to be in the pool of the faith walk, you've been dudded. We are meant to be in the ocean and abide because Christ says, I will abide in you. Can't guarantee how it's going to look like for you, but I'll be with you through the storms. Does that make sense? Tell a person next to you and say, that makes sense. That makes sense. So a disciple is someone who has Christ abiding in them. They've asked him to remain in him, to dwell in him, no matter what's happening in your life, which takes away that desire to have to be perfect all the time. But you know, the proof of whether you really are an ocean swimmer in the faith swim, not just a pool swim, is you have a growing desire inside you to help create other abiders, to help create other disciples in whatever way that's expressed through your abilities. Because Sally and I were raised at the beach, our adult kids when they were growing up were raised at the beach. So our kids, or adults now, are totally comfortable with the ocean, in the ocean, around the beach. It's part of who they are. We didn't force that on them. You can't manipulate that on them. You can just expose them to it. And what's really cool is as my grandkids have come along, they've been exposed to the same practice by my adult kids. So my youngest granddaughter, she's lined up and all we've done is just expose Ella to the ocean. So she stands there on the edge of the ocean and she looks out at the ocean. And my role as a granddad is the same as with the parents and the friends and uncles and aunties that encourage. It's going, you just stand and you just talk about the adventure of the ocean. You talk about all the great things out in the ocean and you talk about things you've got to watch out for, but you talk about the adventure. And then what they do is they step out of it and over a few hours or a few days, they go out to their knees and they're looking at you and you're still there with them, and you talked about the great things and the jellyfish and the rocks in the water, and they go out further, they get up to their waist, and then you go out further and they get up to their chest, and they're starting to pick up the rhythm and the swell of the thing. And then you hear my wife Sally go, "Don't take them any further, you're going to drown them, just like you did our kids." But within days, they are comfortable in the rhythm of the ocean, just up to their, up to here. The pool's never the same to them. You can't take them beside the pool and go, "Look at all the wonderful things in the pool. Look at that line." And I've done thousands of laps over the decades, believe me. But there's this line, as Kieran Perkins says, for hours you put your head in a bucket of chlorine, you're just going up and down. So, but what's interesting is then you have grandkids who are older. So I've got another granddaughter called Kyra. She was at primary school when this photo was taken, and here she is out in the ocean. And notice, she's on her own. It's a bit of a swell. Totally comfortable out there on her own. Now, you can't force that. You can't trick people into becoming disciples. You can't manipulate people. All that we've done is tell them about the great things, the things to watch out for, but the faith journey through the ocean of life. Does that make sense? And it grows. So if you are a disciple, you have a growing passion to help others, to create other disciples. Then you have a growing passion, as many of us has, and in other healthy churches, you want to train disciples. It's this growing passion you have with them. Now, before we go there, I'll go back to the create one. Here's an interesting photo of our Camp No Fear. Now, I've shown you two of my grandchildren, which is the first time in 30 years, so I'm allowed to do that. But now let's widen it. Let's get away from cuteness and get down to even stuff that you can relate to here. This is this year's Camp No Fear. And for those who are listening on podcasts around the world, we'll probably put this on Facebook. You can have a look at this photo. Hundreds of Camp No Fearers. What's interesting is our whole strategy over the decades at Rick and I and the team and Singe and all the team, we just want teenagers to experience the abiding Christ in them. Not religion, not the pool stuff. Here's the rules. Just getting them to appreciate that there's a Christ who actually wants to abide in them. So year after year, decade after decade, that's all we've ever done. Now in that photo, there'll be hundreds of them. Some know a little bit about Jesus. Some have no idea about Jesus. They're just chasing the girls who are there at the camp. But it's quite natural that many parents over the decades think, it's quite a natural thought, is it's great. The church is sending away our kids for 4 days to entertain them. That's great. Which is why we are. You know, we wreck them for 4 days. But I'm now peeling back the curtain for you to go, that is so far away from what we're on about. We are actually on about having those kids take away where they can touch and feel and step in on the edge of the ocean. You know, maybe there is a God. Maybe he really does want to abide in me. You can't manipulate them. You can't pressure them. Because on Monday, that's gone. So they have to have their own quiet, gentle God experience and step further into the ocean, whether it's at the camp, in the weeks, months, or years in front of them. Does that make sense? What else is interesting about that photo? There's probably 80-odd leaders. And because we've done so many camps, the Gateway team, over the decades, some leaders are abiders. They actually walk with Christ abiding in them as they abide in him. Some leaders are pool swimmers. And our role as older Christians, disciples, is to help them take that step of moving across out of the pool into the ocean, into the risky experience of ocean faith. Does that make sense? So we know that, and that's okay. They're not all cookie cutters robots. Some are abiders of the leaders, others are pool swimmers. We're just saying, hey, really think about dwelling in Christ because he wants to dwell in you more. And there are even leaders there who don't know Jesus yet that come on camp because they have a heart to help teenagers. So we invite them, yeah, come along and help us run games and do things. So you've got all of that happening, the ebbs and the flows, the cross currents, the swellings all happening, the swells of life happening just on camp. And their whole role is to try and help create disciples. And then what do? You have this growing passion to help people, to train people to become a disciple of Christ. If you claim to be a Christian and you claim to know Jesus, he's abiding in you, not only do you want to help create disciples, you really do have a growing passion to train them. And look at the scriptures here. Pull out your outline or follow on the screen and look at the scriptures. Look what Jesus says. He says to them just before he heads back to be with his heavenly Father. This is in the context of training. He says, the Bible says, Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave his charge. And he says to his mates, God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train everyone you meet in far and near in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we've got some baptisms coming up next Easter Sunday. He'll be awesome. And then Jesus goes on and says to his mates, the disciples, then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you. I'll be with you as you do this day after day after day. That sounds like abiding, dwelling, remaining in you, continuing in you, no matter what storms and cross currents come up in your life, right up to the end of the age. Last year's footy season was grand final time, and the local league was playing the seniors grand final, and it was at Frankston Footy Park. And some mates had gone ahead, and there was 5,000 people at Frankston Footy Oval watching the seniors. So mates had saved a seat to me right on the fence and rushed down. As soon as the last song's done, I'm out of here down to Frankston Footy Oval. And while I'm there sitting with my mates, they got seats right on the wire fence on the boundary line. During the game, high pressure game, grand final, the full forward rushes out, takes a mark 50 metres out, right on the 50 metre line. Well, it happened to be where we were sitting. So when the full forward lined up and backed up to the fence, we were sitting behind him. He could have knocked the ball out of his hand, but he was so muscly, that's not a good idea to do that. But he's lined up, pressed against the fence. And my friend knew him, and he said, look, Billy, you've got this. You'll nail this, Billy. Take your time. And he's lined it up, and I'm looking around this side, and my mate Jeff's looking around this side. It was 50 metres out, past the 50-metre line. When he kicked, it'd be 50 metres. He's kicking to the goal end, bayside end, bit of a slight breeze, difficult shot. And he's lined it up, 50 metres out, drop punt, grand final, high pressure, nails it right through the middle. It was impressive. It really was. And we were there. You could touch him. You could smell his sweat. And Denker rubbing, liniment. I love it. You wouldn't credit it. Minutes later, out of the centre it comes, low pass. He leads out, outside, half forward flank, 50 metres out, marks it again. Backs up to the fence. So close we could touch. My friend against, you'll nail it again, Billy. You're a dead set shot. I'm on this side watching. Bayside end, slight breeze, tight angle, grand final, no second chances, steps in, drop punt, bangs it through the middle. The crowd goes off. We go off, we jump up, yay! Then we jump down because we knew that half the other crowd were going to throw bottles and cans, and that was just the women. So, but I can remember at that point thinking, this guy has trained for that seasons ago, when he was a kid, to be that confident and to be that technically correct in a high-pressure situation, to go back and nail it. It's not something that happens in 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. He's obviously been trained and training for year after year after year. And I thought, what a practitioner. What a practitioner. And Dallas Willard is someone we really admire, this famous Christian man. Look what he says in the same situation about training. Dallas Willard says, a disciple is a learner, a student, an apprentice, a practitioner, even if only a beginner. One of the biggest cons that could happen to you in your life is you go, well, I've asked Jesus to abide in me, now I have to wait 10 years before I can actually go in the ocean faith swim. No, the moment you ask Christ to abide in you, he's saying, do not go into the pool, stay in the ocean of faith, and let me be an abide in you and be with you through the tough times in life, the tears, the laughter, the joy, the sadness, the illnesses, the bust-ups, the disappointments, the triumphs. He's saying, abide in me, because I'll abide in you. And we just want to encourage you to say, any healthy church, and there's lots of healthy churches on the peninsula and around Melbourne, if you're serious about abiding in Christ, you really do want to create other disciples. You really do want to train other disciples. So that's why we run life groups every fortnight. They're really just groups of apprentices of Jesus getting together and sharing life. Yes. They eat a lot, they do topics, but they help each other, they cheer each other on through the week. We run alpha courses coming up shortly to help people find out who this Jesus is. Who's the Holy Spirit? What's the point of the church? Does God heal? Does he still supernaturally work today? We have coaches and mentors. We have a network of coaches and mentors in this church, as any healthy church does, to actually encourage you to grow in your ocean swim of faith. Does that make sense? So never think in, it's really about entertainment and, it's good feeling. No, it's way beyond that. It's way beyond. And I beg you, I said in the first service, I plead with you, if you don't know Jesus yet, or you've been stuffing around in the swimming pool, floundering, I plead with you, I beg of you, to get one-on-one with Christ and say, Lord, please abide in my life. You know me inside out. Come into my life and make me all that you want me to be. And he will abide with you. He will remain with you, stay with you, continue with you for the rest of your eternity. Because you're already living your eternity now. But do you want to keep living it the way you've been living it? Or do you want to allow a supernatural God, a God of mercy and grace, to come in and abide with you? I know which journey Sally and I took, and we're so glad we've taken that role, that journey. We'll just encourage you on that. Does that make sense? Tell the person next to you and say, oh, that makes sense, or it doesn't make sense. So if you say, I am a disciple, I've asked Jesus to abide in my life, I do have a growing sense, so I want to create disciples. I want to be involved in life groups and so on. And I want to help train other disciples in whatever way you're wired to do that. Then lastly, you have a growing sense, you know what? Wherever Jesus wants to send me, I'm prepared to go. Our level one group, we do leadership level one training each month, done it for years, and at the start of the year, we said on the very first session of a current group's about 15 adults doing leadership together, learning what it means to be a leader, a follower of Christ in more of a leadership role. And one of the things we did, the very first session, we say, right, by mid-year, Rick and I'd really like you to organise a plane flight and go interstate, and we'll tell you later on what five activities we want you to do. So can you imagine, and there's a shot of last year's Gatorites level oneers. So think about it. You get 15 or so adults together. Adults with all their own agendas and everything, and say, you've got to make it happen, and we're not going to tell you how to do it, because actually I don't even go on the flight. You have to achieve it by mid-year, because we want you to come back and tell us what you experience. So you get a group of people who may not know each other very well. They have to do this one day activity, catch the first flight out and get the last flight back in. Saturday night. And so we do that because we're trying to get them in a condensed, compressed experience to understand what it's like to go in the ocean faith swim, actually with others, because there's 20 others on the boat with you. It's not just about you, buddy. And so they go off and do this activity. And it's fascinating when they come back and debrief, because they realise, wow, all different personalities, different life experiences, different levels of income. Some can afford the flight like that and a rental car. But what about the single mums or single dads or the students that can't afford it? Well, you've got to make them all go. So you have to provide that as a group. Some are very good at praying. Some are good at organising the flight. Some are good at organising the car hire. Some are good at meeting other people at the airport. Some are good at fun. Some are good at encouragement. So they have to get together and get to know each other and make it work. And that's called being in the ocean and saying, okay, I'm going to experience this and take this step and swim out beyond my comfort zone where I can't see land and do it with 15 other people and trust that Christ is with me when we fly back in on Saturday night. And they have an absolute ball. And you get it even better. Because, you see, for those who have been around Gateway a while, or if you're new, those who've been around Gateway get this. Those of you may think, well, this is great. It makes me feel good and I'm uplifted, which is great. But again, peel back the curtain. What we try and do is, really, this is family lunch. All the family, church gathered, whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, because we've invited you to the table, so you're a very special guest to us, to come and experience corporate worship together, to learn stuff together, be challenged together. And then Marcy and the team does that so to uplift you, that you do feel encouraged, you do have hope placed inside you, so that then we can send you back out Monday to Friday to wherever God's planted you. Because people go, I have to go overseas for mission work. No, no, God's put you in the workplace, in the school place. He's put you in the home. He's put you with your neighbours. He's put you in your footy clubs. He's put you in your running clubs. He's put you there and he's saying, just encourage people and model the healthy, exciting side of the faith swim. And people like my little daughter, my little grandchild, will come up and actually look at you and they start asking you questions. Because A, you've befriended them. You're not in it for anything else other than encourage them to be having a think about Jesus. You can't force them, you can't manipulate them. You can just live it. They'll start asking you questions. So look for your friends in that who don't know Jesus yet. Start praying for them. Yeah. And you watch what God does. Because he promised, he says, I will abide in them when they ask me to. I will quietly come in. And they will be a different person. Does that make sense? He never mentions chlorine or the pool. Your faith journey is to be an exciting adventure. It's meant to be. You young people, do not get sucked into the pool swimming faith. Please. Watch the older ones who swim in the ocean of faith. Never sure of what tomorrow holds, but they're in the swim. Now, as we close, I just want to recap what I've said to you, because I don't want you walking out of here being a little bit fuzzy. Someone who claims to be a disciple has Christ abiding in them. Nothing you do if I turn up the church or I'm a good person. You have to actually ask Christ to abide in you. Please, Lord, dwell in me. Remain in me. Continue in me, please. And he says, I will, and I'll place my supernatural Holy Spirit inside you that you will walk with me through the rest of your eternity. You have a growing desire to help create other disciples because you realise it's not just about you. You have a growing desire to help train other disciples. You know our Camp Nofear leaders, I know many of you do this in other areas of ministry, they actually pay for their own fees. They pay for their own annual leave to go and do it. That's crazy. It's supposed to be just a youth camp. But they get it. That goes beyond just youth camp. And thirdly, you know, lastly, they are prepared to be sent. That's the mark, the fruit of a disciple. So be encouraged. And also feel free, as someone came up to me after the first service, walked up to me and said, I had never met the person before, and came up and said, Mark, I'm a pool swimmer. Like, almost challenging. And I said, good on you. I said, that's a very honest and assessment. Well done for assessing where you're at. How can I help you? So you've got to assess where you're at. Does that make sense? So please consider joining a life group. Consider doing Alpha next week. Finding out more about this glorious God. Consider getting a coach or a mentor through our network that will help you in your faith swim. Consider serving somewhere in the 7 days at Gateway, because that expands you as a person. It really does. Please consider these things. I can't be any more clear and upfront with you. Yes, we have a lot of fun at Gateway. Fun's one of our core values, 5 core values. But there are some points we have to say, please, do the ocean swim of faith. Do not be in the pool. You'll stay safe, in control. But there's a bigger adventure out there for you. There really is. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for knowing you are a good God. And for many of us here who are in the ocean faith swim, we know there's strong currents and tides and storms and things don't always go the way we want, but you abide in us and we will just abide in you. We will rest in you. because we know you are a good God, a merciful God, a loving God. And Lord, for some of us who've been in the pool, doing the laps, looking good, oh Father, that you'll prompt us to move out of that pool and get into the ocean faith swim. And Lord, for those here, and there are always several here who are just considering you, thinking about you, they don't know you yet, just encourage them to keep exploring you, Lord. I love this place, Lord. I love this body of Christ that you've planted here. And I pray a blessing on every person here today. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Gateway Family Church. We hope you join us again for another great message next week. For more information or to contact us, head to gateway.asn.au.